This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
And we are stick deep in the ACC men's basketball tournament. We've got three games left. 7 o'clock tonight. It will be, actually it might be earlier, right? Might be a 6:30 start or something like that for North Carolina and Pitt, followed by Virginia and NC State.
Wow.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock for Carolina and Pitt.
9:30.
And then 9:30. Mm-hmm. We make a stay up to 9:30 again. No chance. I'll watch the state game in the morning when I wake up. I can't say it, but this week's killing me.
Yeah, I know.
This week is
it's
killing
a long
me.
Week.
But it is. Brian Geisinger, Pack Pride, 24/7 Sports, BuzzBeat Podcast, NBA basketball guru joins us to talk about what happened last night. So, what happened last night? How much? I mean, to me, obviously, State played great. So, diagnose what you saw.
Yeah, I mean, I do think real quickly on Duke, just like one of the things that has flown like a little under the radar. I mean, we've talked about it, but like not a super deep bench, and Caleb Foster's been out for a couple of weeks now. Like, he's an important player for them. You know, they get 0 points from the bench last night.
Right.
You know, I mean, there have been some moments where Sean Stewart looked like he was sort of like ready to get an extended run, and he didn't have a great showing last night. He played very well against State, you know, a week and a half ago in Raleigh. But I really think what happened last night, I mean, there's lots of angles to look at it from Duke's perspective, but I really think you got to, like, give State a ton of credit.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be one of the bigger wins of the Kevin Keats era, not just, like, this season. I mean, top 10 team, 10-point favorite, you know, all kinds of all ACC talent on the roster, back up against the wall for State. Who knows? Maybe they're playing a little loose now. If they're somewhere between back against the wall and no one believed in us, we get to play loose, you know, territory right now. It's just a dangerous place to see a team in a single elimination tournament. But I just think State cocks back and has, you know, one of its best defensive performances of the season, which comes one day after they had an excellent defensive performance against Syracuse. I mean, that had been, I think it had been since the Virginia game in January that State had held an opponent under 1 point, 1 point per possession in a game, and they got two of them in back-to-back games, including one against Duke, which is, you know, one of the probably 5 to 10 best offenses in the country. And if you're going to go look at players, I mean, I think it was a team effort, but it really starts with Mo Diarra.
Mm-hmm.
What this guy's doing is just incredible. Like, it's incredible. And all season long, I mean, he's been a beast on the boards. He's been like a versatile defender. He's given them some switchability on the perimeter. He's given them some rim protection. He steps up and takes the primary assignment against Kyle Filipowski last night, which also means he's out there switching a ton of screens. And I thought State had a good game plan to have DJ Burns on Mark Mitchell. And then when Kyle Filipowski goes into the post against the switch, you know, when he's got Morsell or Horn or O'Connell on him with Diarra switched out, they had, you know, DJ Burns sag off of Mitchell. And then sort of almost like de facto double team any of those sort of like high-low entry passes. I thought that was, like, that State's defensive game plan was good. You know, Mitchell hit some tough shots, but they didn't let that get them out of what their game plan was. At times, Duke tried to get Mitchell going to the rim as like a screen setter and a roller against Burns. And that DJ got burnt one time in the first half, and for the most part was like pretty solid, you know, being in his like, you know, drop setting against those looks. And then just Michael O'Connell at the point of attack. I mean, we could talk all we want, I guess, about the way he shot the ball in D.C., which has been incredible. And, you know, they're going to need more of that if they're going to get past Virginia. But his hit-ahead passes in transition, the way he gets State running, and his point of attack defense, the screen navigation against Syracuse and Duke was really good in back-to-back performances.
Brian Geisinger is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Yeah, I do want to make sure that we give the credit to the Wolfpack. And the funny thing is that at the beginning of the year, we saw some potential to be a better defensive team. Their better defense is probably a more up-tempo defense, and their half court is not their strength. But if Duke's got limited numbers, and, you know, certainly they Duke's not ideal because Mitchell doesn't pose really a perimeter threat to where Burns has to go out and get in there, has to honor that so he can sag off and still be just there to bother anybody else coming to the lane. It makes it a little bit easier. But, yeah, State definitely played a better defensive game. But for the last couple of games, John Shire has been talking about the good thing is that all of these issues are in our control. So my question is, are they really in their control?
Hey, it's Adam Gold, and I'm in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. Is it ever too soon to seek out you and your expertise?
Really, there's no too soon. It's time to get serious. So if you're 50 or over, we call it the financial red zone. And that's when really it's time for you to take control of your money and make sure you have a firm on your side that's a fiduciary planning firm, which means they take your side at all times. Now, we'll do this for the next 10 of you who call. This is $1,000 value, but I'm going to waive my planning fee to make sure you get your total retirement plan and you get on the right path for retirement.
Call 888-843-0013, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
I mean, I think he's, I think that's a little bit of like coach speak to an extent. I mean, he's remained confident all season that like Duke has all the pieces that it's needed. I remember him saying this.
I agree. They have the pieces.
Yeah. It's just like the roster is in some ways, like it is a little limited. Like, I mean, they've got like enough to go to the Final Four, right? Like they're super talented. But, like, not having a bench, I mean, I think to an extent, like, being able to play, like, 10 deep, there's some overrated nature to that. But being able to go confidently, having, like, 6-7 guys, and they're not, like, far away from that. If Foster was healthy, they'd basically be right there. But, like, that's the thing. Like, he's not healthy. They don't have, you know, a 6-4 guard that can get downhill and is important as a driver and a passer and is, like, a pretty good spot-up shooter for Duke as well. Like, they do miss him. And then, like, they have been trying all year to, like, solve, like, the way teams have defended Mitchell. And it seemed like for big stretches of the year, after sort of some, like, bumps earlier on, they had kind of gotten to, like a place where they could handle that. But, you know, if they can't really, like, get to their, you know, get to some of their go-to stuff, you know, like, driving lanes for Proctor or high-low entry stuff for Kyle Filipowski, if that stuff's getting clogged up because teams are able to, like, play off of Mitchell, then their ceiling is, like, a little bit lower in terms of the half-court offense. Mitchell's still really good. Like, he is sort of, like, limited in this one way that teams are going to guard him. But I think he's done a nice job countering that at times. I think Duke staff has put him in some good positions as well. But it's just the reality, you know?
Right.
And, like, they just don't really have, other than, I guess, kind of TJ Power, they don't really have, like, a stretch shooting option in the front court, you know, to, like, come in and play next to Filipowski and keep the defense humming. They don't have that piece. So, like, I think Shire is right when he says they've got everything they need in-house to get it done. I mean, you can see the talent, but the lack of depth, the lack of, like, stretch in the front court, and you can see it, like, if they put Filipowski or McCain or both those guys on the bench at the same time, those are lineups that just, like, can't survive. And, like,
right.
You can't have McCain and Filipowski on the bench at the same time. I get fouls, but just, like, they can't survive it right now. And they're going to have to be a little bit more careful about that as they get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I just think that their bigger issue, and John has talked about the competitive aspect of it, and I think that's what he's talking about controlling games. You know, 50-50 balls against UNC weren't 50-50 balls. They were, you know, 90-10 balls. And they didn't defend as aggressively and as consistently well against NC State. And a lot of that is NC State playing really well and really smart and really efficiently. And they didn't live at the three-point line. They only shot 16 threes. They made 7. And three of the 9 misses were Mo Diarra. And I highlighted him because he's one of my favorite players that they've got. I think Diarra is a dynamite player and has gotten so much better as the year has gone on. So let me just kick it forward. And, you know, Duke's not there anymore, so let's talk about teams that are. Pitt, North Carolina last night, or coming up tonight. Carolina did what they did, and it was all based on defense, and I love every element of that. Pittsburgh. Now, they're probably, and they should be, in a mindset of, we have to win this game, because I'm not sure that they don't in order to get an at-large bid, because they didn't really accomplish anything outside the league. Not that that really matters to other teams, but it matters to Pitt, apparently. How do you see that? Because Pitt doesn't have nearly as much depth, and Carolina's going to make everything difficult.
Yeah, I mean, Gold, I think we've talked about it for a couple of months now, but just like, Carolina's defense, it's just better than the sum of its parts.
Yep.
Like obviously they've got really, really good players. But just the way all the perimeter guys have bought in to guarding. Like, I rewatched the Duke UNC game this week, and I mean, to see like what Cormac Ryan, Seth Trimble, like what those guys are doing away from the ball, you know, locking, you know, really being super duper like Virginia Clemson style physical with guys off the ball and, you know, trying to deny handoffs and down screens. And then when they have to navigate on the ball, being super physical, getting over those screens. And then, you know, Armando Bacot or Jalen Washington are waiting in the paint. And
yeah.
So I'm going to be fascinated to see what Pittsburgh has cooked up to go at UNC's scheme, this drop defense. Because Pitt has two really, really good point guards, right? They're both freshmen, though. Jalen Lowe and Bub Carrington.
Right.
And, like, I think, you know, UNC plays a scheme with this drop coverage where, like, Carrington's going to have pull-up looks. Lowe's going to have – he loves to get that to that little lefty floater and runner. Like, those looks are going to be there. It's just, like, they're going to also going to be contested from behind by the, you know, the guard, you know, R.J. Davis or Elliot Cadeau or Cormac Ryan, the guys that are navigating screens. And sometimes those shots, they can look open, but they're still, like, tough off-dribble looks. Like, UNC's defense whole year has been basically trying to, like, stuff guards into phone booths when they're coming off those screens and then make them take contested pull-up twos. And, like, it's worked very, very well. Like, looking at KenPom, UNC, only 40% of the field goals against them this season have been assisted. It's a top 10 rate, top 7 rate nationally. So they're trying to encourage you to take off-dribble twos and take away the paint with Bacot, you know, dropping at the rim. The only thing, too, is, like, Bub Carrington, you know, there's a some percent chance that guy is just on a heater tonight. And, like, all of a sudden, like, does he get his pull-ups, and does that make UNC's scheme, you know, not this as powerful as it has been for the vast majority of the season? You know, as good as Carrington is and as good as Lowe are, I kind of think that's going to be tough for them. And so then it turns to, like, Blake Hinson. Like, how do you want to guard him coming off screens? Are you going to switch against him? Who are the matchups? Can Jalen Withers and Seth Trimble get you help off the bench? What does Harrison Ingram's role look like? And can Pittsburgh take advantage of that drop coverage with Hinson? Maybe not him, like, you know, dribbling off pick and roll, but you get him coming off of pin downs that are being set by Pittsburgh centers, you know, Federico, or Diaz Graham. You let him curl off those looks, and if it's against Bacot, well, he's going to be dropped into the paint, so it's not going to be a switch. So he might be able to curl off and get into space. And so just like, can they screen well for Hinson off the ball and maybe try to get him to, like, weirdly attack attack the drop coverage, but to not do it by using ball screens, to use it by, you know, pin downs, that type of stuff. So we'll see how creative Jeff Capel can get and how the freshman guards perform.
Mm-hmm. Brian Geisinger is joining us here. We talked to Jeff Capel the other day. It was a fascinating discussion, I thought. And we talked about Blake Hinson, and you always say that he has irrational confidence. And Jason. And Jason said he has unreasonable confidence. So I just thought that was absolutely hysterical, that he basically feels the same way about Blake Hinson as you do, one of my favorite players to watch. All right, so State of Virginia have played twice, right? They split them, right?
Yep.
Wolfpack won in Raleigh. Virginia won up in Charlottesville. How does this one work out?
I'm fascinated. I mean, I think it's going to be a game that's going to get, you know, Virginia, they tend to drag games into the mud. That's where they want to play.
They hate
fun. I think
one
of the few times this year I haven't seen them get into the mud was when they got blown out by Duke at Cameron a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But given how State's defense has looked the last couple of games, like playing better and obviously Virginia not a high-powered offense, like this does feel like it's just going to be like a grimy, low-scoring game, low-possession game. And I think what State can do defensively with how they want to switch using Diarra, like they can take away some of Virginia's, you know, off-ball motion, all the blocker mover and little inside motion triangle sets they run where they try to get, you know, Isaac McNeely and Jake Groves. They're two really good shooters coming off of down screens. I think a lot of it depends on can you keep Reese Beekman out of the paint. It's hard to do. He's so clever. He's such a high field player. He's playing really well. The guy is, I think he's ready to, like, step onto an NBA roster and be a contributor next season. He's just making play after play for Virginia really, really special. And then defensively, you know, they're going to probably put Beekman on Horn when he comes into the game.
Right.
Like, you know, he's now the microwave guy off the bench for State. How does he handle that? That's tough. Beekman's a really tough guy to attack. What do the post-ups look like for DJ Burns? You know, can Jordan Miner guard him one-on-one? I know UVA's known as like a post, you know, an automatic, you know, post-trap, post-double team. But they're doing that less now, and certainly you want to stay out of rotation against Burns. We've seen all kinds of teams have to deal with this throughout the year, including UVA. And Miner was able to guard Quinton Post one-on-one in the post late last night against Boston College. Had some big stops. So maybe they'll try that. How does Burns respond? And can State get a little bit more movement off the ball, even when he does get into some of those post-ups? Because they still need Horn and Burns to drive the offense. But I do think if they continue to get this kind of like secondary shooting and playmaking from Taylor and O'Connell, like it's huge because you know Burns and Horn are going to deliver. It's just like they create open looks for other guys. Can those guys just capitalize when they get the wide open, you know, spot up three?
And wouldn't it be appropriate if Casey Morcell delivered against his former club? Now, he had a big game on Tuesday night, right? Casey had 25.
In D.C. is where he, you know, he's from Washington, D.C. too. Yeah. So there's a lot of, this is a homecoming game sort of like in multiple ways for Casey.
No question about that. Brian Geisinger, I am picking an all North Carolina ACC tournament final. I would love to see Pitt do something crazy tonight because I want them in the tournament, but I don't think they're beating UNC. I mean, I just think North Carolina is heads and shoulders better than everybody in this field.
UNC is really good. They're really, really, really good. But it'd be fun to see. I mean, Pitt has some of the tools to do it. It's just like I don't love the – it's just hard. It's really hard. UNC makes it super, super duper tough. And, force them out for Wake Forest too. Really enjoyed watching them this season. But, it feels like this is the third straight year they're going to just sort of like narrowly miss the NCAA tournament.
Man, go win the NIT like Dave Odom used to do every other year.
Legacy, Dave.
Brian Geisinger, our college basketball guru, 24/7 Sports, BuzzBeat podcast. I can't speak suddenly. At BGeis_Bird. My man, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you guys enjoyed the games tonight.
Thanks, man. You too.